We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, dipper number two, fiery consequences. So what's happening out in California has just, oh my gosh, I mean, what's a good word to describe it? It's just catastrophic. It is of biblical proportions. This is something of an epic level that is unlike any fire ever seen in the history of the United States. And no, I'm not over-exaggerating. Listen to some stats here. You ready for this? Here's the human and property toll. So first of all, I will say this. One piece of relief, and I'm pulling this off the National Pulse Dateline last night. California wildfires are still only under 50% containment. In other words, they got a long way to go yet. But they are saying that the intense winds, the Santa Ana winds that blow in off the coast, that those are expected to subside over the next couple of days. Like, we're actually seeing a front come through that they believe is going to change the wind patterns, and that the winds that have been fueling this raging fire that sweeps across entire communities expect to come to pretty much an end. They're also going to see higher humidity, although I don't know if they have rain in the forecast, but they're looking at things getting to a much more favorable condition for firefighting. That said, they name the fires separately. So the fires right now, like for instance, the Palisades fire, which has been one of the worst. So the Palisades fire has scorched over 23,000 acres, is only 21% contained. The one they refer to as the Eaton fire has burned another 14,000 acres. It only stands at 45% containment. The fires themselves so far have claimed, you ready for this, 25 lives and over 12,000 structures have been destroyed. 12,000 structures are just gutted and gone. Damages are right now estimated at $250 billion. That is making it the most costly fire in U.S. history. That is unreal. There's also still 80,000 people that are under evacuation orders, not able to return to their homes. And they're doing all they can to try and clear this up. And meanwhile, there's stuff happening that you look at and go, good Lord. I mean, why would that be? And what happened over there? There's another part of the state where one of the power plants caught fire. And I don't know yet why that was. I didn't bother putting it in my stack because it was unrelated to these particular fires, it seems. But one of the things we have also seen, though, is that they have any number of instances where it appears that there has been arson involved. Now, listen. I got to look at this and go, okay, that's a massive human and property toll. That's going to be years of rebuilding. You're also going to have a lot of trouble. Insurance in California has been shutting down. And part of that's because California makes it very difficult for insurance companies to operate. And so insurance companies are businesses too, and they start pulling out. So how about this? Here's the idea. State of California, make it easier for people to get insurance instead of harder. That might be a thing you might want to consider. Well, those kind of policies being put in place are some of what's making everything worse. Some of the policies we've been dealing with too are, and I know some of y'all are tracking this already, but I'll repeat a bit of it. When you see things like water conservation policies that are designed to benefit the environmentalist activists, but it means that the reservoir is dry and they can't get water into the fire hydrants, guess what? All you've done is create an issue of life, limb, and property. You may have saved some, I don't know, some allegedly saved some rare species of fish that's trying to get to the Pacific Ocean, but I'm just saying, you burned down half of Los Angeles to get there. Or how about the environmentalist policies that prevent the clearing of massive underbrush and basically clearing land of dry debris that fuels the fires? That's a thing? Yeah, it's a thing. It's just like, cleaning up your house. You just do it periodically, especially when you've got all this open land near highly populated areas. You pretty much have to do it. Fire breaks, those are necessary. Well, those are not natural, and we're just not sure that will be good for the species that live in the area. Well, some of the species are people, so maybe you should.
And it's not natural for the forest to burn to the ground.
That's another point, too. Yeah, it's not natural. At least not natural like this.
At least they'll have a home in fire breaks,
Yeah. We had a situation just a few years ago in Northern California where environmentalists were extremely concerned about a spotted owl. I said this on my show the other day. A spotted owl was believed to be, the habitat was in an area that included, you know, tens of thousands of acres, that the Department of Environmental Management wanted to get in there and clean out the underbrush and make it, you know, more fire resistant, but they were scared that it would do something to the owl, the activists were. And so they took 10 years to review the policies and let's talk about it and fret a little longer and wring our hands. And guess what? Fire came, ravaged over 10,000 acres. So guess where the owls live now? Not there. In fact, there's probably a few of them that toasted in the process. So this is what these activist wackos do. But then in a minute, when I get back from this next break, I got to tell you, what we've seen in the politicians, not just the activists who are influencing the politicians, but the politicians themselves, you got to look at it and go, where's your head? These are your people. Why would you do what you're doing? I'm going to tell you about some things that weren't just budget cuts. They were budget reallocations that have directly impacted the ability to fight these fires. Not only that, but just the idea of certain appointments being put in place that, I don't know, maybe made things worse. And then, oh, by the way, is there really a recall effort on Gavin Newsom? Well, I would hope so. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about Huntsville to Chattanooga, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden. Big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. So I'm in this section called Fiery Consequences, and I just gave you the sort of the human and the property toll. This is turning out to be the most costly fire season in the history of the United States in California. $250 billion in property damage, 12,000 structures gone, 25 people known killed. Now, I saw another report this morning said, yes, there are 25 confirmed, but there are 36 that they are believed missing. So this very well could go up. I've got a story here from Fox Business. Dateline yesterday. Headline, LA officials were warned about budget cuts to the fire department, saying, quote, someone will die. All right, this is a tough article. In fact, I usually highlight my notes. I've highlighted almost the entire article. It's hard to say which part of this article I can just leave out. I've got a few these and ands that I left out. That's about it. So LA budget had big cuts. Mayor Karen Bass, who's facing a recall right now, Mayor Karen Bass slashed the fire department's budget by over $17 million this last year. $17 million. Just whacked it off. Got all kinds of criticism for it. In May of last year, L.A. Fire Department Chief Kristen Crowley, she warned, we are at the breaking point where firefighters can no longer do more with less. Now, any good leader is going to call for that. I've seen any number of times when there's a little bit of hyperbole and someone calls for needing more and they're just told to get the job done. In this case, you got to look at it and go, wow, makes sense, especially when you look at it and see Chief Crowley went on the record pleading for funding, saying that they were woefully understaffed compared to other major cities. They have less than one firefighter per 1,000 residents. The average recommended level is 2.5 firefighters per 1,000 residents. They're more than half below where they should be, according to the recommended ratio. They also are sucking wind when it comes to mechanics in the fire department. They got scores of equipment apparently just sitting idle. One LA City Council member says, we have million-dollar rigs sitting at the yard right now with no mechanics to be able to fix them. Here's an idea. Bring in contract labor at the very least. My gosh. But it's probably a union thing and they can't do that. I don't know. Fox News reported that next year's budget does call for more mechanics and more replacement vehicles, but it also wants $5 million for the LA Fire Department to charge EVs and $2 million for a diversity and inclusion plan. Well, that's awesome. I'm sure the people whose houses just burned down are really looking to make sure they know whether enough gender equity is going on in their fire department. But perhaps one of the most dire warnings, the article points out, came from the LA Firefighters Union. who told the council members a few weeks before the fires, that if we cut one position, if we close one station, if we close one resource, they said, the residents of Los Angeles will pay the ultimate sacrifice and someone will die. That's about as dire as it gets. And all of that was said and done before the fire season. I've even got where Gavin Newsom appointed a woke adjutant general to the California National Guard who did away with a firefighting detachment that they had that was usually there to assist FEMA and others in coordinating for, you know, disaster relief. I mean, all these decisions, you look at it and think, what is anybody going to face any consequences? Is anyone? I mean, is Newsom? Is Karen Bass the feckless? I mean, I watch her in her press conferences and I'm thinking the woman has no clue. She's just excited to be there. And yet, you got to wonder, is there going to be any political fallout? So a piece here from townhall.com points out that there is an effort underway right now to recall Gavin Newsom. Now, there's been attempts before. But a talk radio host out in L.A., a guy named Randy Economy, he was actually, apparently, he called himself the senior advisor and media spokesperson for the 2021 recall effort of Gavin Newsom. He says there is a plan underway right now, gaining signatures. And so if you're not familiar with a recall, depending upon the state law, Alabama has no recall law. And these are dicey, by the way. I got mixed feelings on the idea of recall, because once people are duly elected, you still have impeachment. And if you don't want to impeach them, but if you don't believe you can get them impeached because their cronies are the ones who would control the impeachment flow, I guess I get that. But the reality is a recall, just to make it simple, is where you get enough signatures of duly, you know, notarized electors or voters that agree to a new ballot issue, and it triggers under state law a ballot to see whether or not the person being recalled should be allowed to stay in office. There are nuances to it depending upon what state you're in. Some states have recall, but when they're a certain amount of time, you know, before the end of their term, there's no sense recalling them because you couldn't get the processes done in time. I mean, there's all kinds of little things like that. And then there's also the question of having to verify the authenticity of the signatures on the ballots to make sure that they're real, not the ballots, the petitions. All of this to say, there is a legitimate recall effort right now on Gavin Newsom. God, and I'll tell you what, man, as much as I am somewhat ambivalent and even a little bit leery of recall votes, because I saw when we got elected in 2010 and we took over the state house, Republicans did in Alabama, one of the first things that happened, I was sitting on a Senate Judiciary Committee, and a now deceased liberal Democrat brought a bill to put recall laws in Alabama. And I looked at him in the committee. It was my opportunity to speak, and I asked for the opportunity, and I was recognized. And I said, Senator, I have to ask, you've been in the Senate now for approximately 30 years. Why are you just now bringing a recall bill? And he looked at me, and there was a pause, and he goes, I just think it's time. Yeah, of course you do. That's because Republicans just took charge. So, yeah, I mean, it can be used for punitive measures. It can be used for, you know, political activity. It can be used for get-backs. And at the same time, you look at Gavin Newsom and go, you are the poster child for why it's necessary. If there's ever a time when you might want recall, please, oh, God, can we get Governor Hairbear out of there and just... So what?
That might be the best nickname I've heard for him yet, Governor Hairbear. That's good.
It just happened. I don't know where it came from. Give me some applause. I'll take it. I'll take it all day long. Just bolster my personal. Yes, I feel good about myself right now. Thank you. Governor Newsom was asked, this article points out, what's your plan to deal with the lack of water to deal with the fires? His response was, local folks will figure it out. And the article points out that is not leadership. Leadership solves problems. Leadership doesn't pass the buck. That's exactly right. So there's a coalition right now that is forming to serve recall papers on Gavin Newsom. They expect to be able to serve him within the next 2 weeks. It cites growing concerns. The article points out over California's rising taxes, cost of living, and ineffective emergency responses. And so I'm just telling you right now, y'all, listen, I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I would love to see Gavin Newsom, like the specter of Gavin Newsom has been looming in the distance for how long? There's always been this sense that there ain't no way in the world that boy doesn't want to be president. He wants it so bad he can hardly stand it. Can you imagine Gavin Newsom being president? I mean, whereas Biden was, what you got?
I really don't want to.
No, I mean, we're just getting rid of Biden. But as Biden was like feckless, ineffective, you're not sure he's even the one making the decisions. I think Newsom is filled with guile and backstabbing and would know exactly what he's doing and would get, you know, just like cackle in the background while he did it.
Finger pointing.
Ah.
You know.
He's like Sauron or something.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings. All right. Newsom is not, and I'd forgotten this. He's been governor now for 6 years. Before that, he was the lieutenant governor for 8 years. And he has no plan for how to handle all these emergencies. In other words, he's been in there now for, what are we looking at, 14 years in a position of leadership for the state. And he has no plan on how to deal with these massive fires and issues that are coming up. So they point out that he did survive a recall petition back in 2021. Okay. The last time a successful recall occurred, I remember this, was 2003. Democrat Governor Gray Davis was recalled and replaced by Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Didn't Schwarzenegger endorse Biden in the last campaign?
Yeah, he said that it's something about how Trump not being for democracy, you know, something like that.
Whatever, Arnold.
I consider Arnold more of a populist than a Republican.
Oh, yeah, I do too. Absolutely.
Or not a conservative.
Absolutely. I read Arnold's biography when I was just like in middle school. It's called The Education of a Bodybuilder. It's very eye-opening. And I've always said if I ever meet him, I'm going to ask about one section that I have used in Bible studies and other stuff many times. I keep the book on my shelf for this very reason. I still got it. He said that at one point when he began bodybuilding, he recognized that he was the reason why he was successful. And he decided at that point he would give no credit to God whatsoever in his life because he was the one sweating. I'm paraphrasing slightly, but that's what he said.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's got a great story, but stuff like that in his politics don't necessarily agree with.
Yep. So it makes you wonder, is Newsom going to be on the outs? Man, I hope so. Good Lord, I hope so. He's term limited, by the way. He's going to be done in 2027 no matter what. That's why people think he's going to run for president in 2028. But his political career, this points out, if this recall is successful, if they can pin some of the aftermath of these fires on his feckless leadership and on his inability to make proper decisions on behalf of his constituents, that his political career could be on ice no matter what. He may be damaged goods at that point. And then it also points out that LA Mayor Karen Bass is the same way, and there's an actual recall effort underway right now on her. So what are the fiery consequences? I think the fiery consequences are we got a lot of people hurting. We got a lot of policies and laws that need to change in California. And the people of the United States, by the way, are going to send them aid money. You know we are, and we should. I get that. That's what FEMA is there for. That's what the emergency proclamations are there for. However, I fully agree with the statement made by Speaker Mike Johnson recently that before we send money to California, we need to know they're not going to keep doing the same things over and over again. They're going to make changes to the way they handle these things. Because if we keep sending them money and it burns up again the next year, what have we done? We're just putting lipstick on a pig at that point. We need some change. So that the people of the state, by the way, we're not just saying that because we're heartless out here. We want the people of the state to have a better life. California is our California. And it's a wonderful place. And it's filled up with awful politics. And the fiery consequences right now are starting to show. All right, we're taking a break. Last break of the day. This would be the last break of Right Side Radio during the Biden administration.
We should celebrate.
Where's
the champagne?
Everything's the last of the Biden administration. Ding dong, the Wicked Witch is dead. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.